You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome back to the podcast. My name is Joseph Clough, and this is episode 748. I hope you're doing well, hope you're doing great. And in today's episode, which I do ever so often, like maybe every couple of months, we're doing a live Q&A. So before this podcast was released, I put a question out on social media, and also there's being streamed live on youtube.com/Joseph Clough. And that's where people can ask me live as we go through this live stream. So if you ever want to attend these live streams, go to youtube.com/Joseph Clough. And be sure to subscribe. Hit that thumbs up. Hit that bell. It just means that you'll get notified. You'll be helping us with the reach to be able to support and help more people than we could ever hopefully imagine. That is my plan and goal for doing what I do. I love going live and spending like an hour on these live streams because I just want to be able to help as many people as possible. So we're going to start off really, really light when it comes to the question. It's a joke question. And this question was asked by someone that I once asked this question to. And I wonder what your answer would be. It's like, would you rather, okay? Would you rather? Are you ready for it? And then we'll get into the more deep, meaningful ones, and then we'll see what happens. And for those live, let me know in the chat what you would go for. So, would you rather sound like Chewbacca from Star Trek? I got you. I know it's Star Wars. I thought I'd just try to upset both camps. Would you rather sound like Chewbacca or look like yourself? Oh, sorry, and look like yourself, or look like him, Chewbacca, but sound like you? In other words, would I prefer to look like Chewbacca but have my own voice, or would I like to have Chewbacca's voice and look like me? I'm going to go all in on looking like Chewbacca whilst being able to speak my own voice, just because it'll be different. I may become a movie star. I may be able to get roles in movies because it's like, probably like a big Sasquatch looking thing, right? Based on memories. So yeah, I'd rather be able to speak my voice, look like Chewbacca, who's what? Wasn't he like 8 feet tall or something ridiculous? And I think that would be an interesting life experience. So that is my answer from Melissa. What would you choose? Would you rather look like Chewbacca but have your wonderful voice? Or look like you with Chewbacca's voice? And you think about it, I could still do hypnosis. I can't do hypnosis with Chewbacca's voice, right? I couldn't do that. I'm not even going to try to do an impression. So I would absolutely look like Chewbacca, but I still have the ability to do hypnosis and get in those movies and things like that. So that is question one, starting off nice and light. Let's get to another one right now. Actually, it was less of a question, but I'm going to say it anyway because they said it. And here's from Jose, who said, "Hello, Joseph. More than a question, just to say thank you for your work. Really helps me. Cheers from Chile." Which is awesome. Thank you so much. I love receiving kind words. It's an honor to do so. I'm never going to repel them because it would be a dishonor to the person who says so. But I also love that we're getting around the world in all these different countries. So thank you ever so much. I appreciate you and your words in every single way. Now let's go to Sharon, who said, how do I stop my anxiety when I wake up in the morning? Good and great question. In this day and age, we have so many things in our mind, so many roles to carry out, so many expectations of who we are and what we're doing. It can be very, very tricky, let alone if we had anxiety issues and not feeling good enough, worthy, capable, phobias, that kind of like anxious mindset. But I'm going to flip the frame a little bit, and that is considering doing things before you wake up, and in this case, before you go to sleep. I think it's really important to have a ritual of how you go to sleep. I don't think we should be looking on our mobile phones as soon as we go to sleep. I don't think we should be watching crazy things just before we go to sleep. I don't think we should be on social media just before we go to sleep. It is important to be able to get yourself in a mindset of relaxing the body, but also on top of that, on the psychology, is to ask yourself, what can I learn from my day? Because sometimes we bring that energy from the previous day, the stresses of things that we've done, into our sleep, but also into awakening. We may have unresolved things that need our attention, which our unconscious mind thinks, which makes us feel anxious either when asleep, so we're not restored because our mind is in overdrive, but especially when we're waking up. So I would take it a little bit earlier before sleep and asking yourself, what can I learn from my day? The things I did well, or anything that once I learn from, there's my sentence, I ask myself, what can I learn from my day that what I did well, or in general what I could learn from to improve, that will allow me to feel safer, more confident, and more powerful tomorrow? That means I'm asking the right questions to my unconscious mind to process what I'm doing in the day, or what I've done in the day. We're dealing and resolving the unresolved energy we would have taken into sleep and into our morning. So please, number one, make sure you ask the right questions and prepare yourself as you go to sleep. That is so, so important to me. Now, another level of this could be, once again, not being on the social media as soon as you wake up, because I have done that and I notice the difference. I notice how I cannot engage in the world. It's like going on a merry-go-round at 100 miles an hour when you've just awoken from your sleep. You're going to be thrown off course. You're not going to be in a vibrational match to everything which is going on in the world. We have crazy news. We have crazy economies. We have crazy families. We have crazy things we've got to do. And it's not helpful for us to engage in things where we've got to engage with our physical, emotional, and psychological self first. Now, for those in my program, for example, I have bespoke ones designed, but then a real deep custom made one, and I call them Create Your Days. And then we go there in the mind to prepare ourselves, to decide what we're going to be, who we are going to be, how we're going to act before we engage in the day. Now, I also have a version of the Miracle Morning, and it contains so many things. Although it's like, say, 30 minutes of doing morning work, you actually gain back time because you're not stressed. You're not spending your time and energy on things which aren't important. So that first 30 minutes of your day is vital to set up and create your day. That is what we have to do before engaging with the craziness of the world. That is exactly what I do. If we think about the question, how do I stop my anxiety when I wake up in the morning? Well, anxiety is focusing on all the things that we don't want to happen. So we've got to reverse the process. We've got to create of the day the way we would like it to go. And therefore, we are focusing on what we want. And if you're focusing on what you want, it's going to really diminish a lot of the anxiety. Now, to go to an expert level, I always like to go to the successful completion of my day, because you don't feel anxiety. And I talked about this 2 episodes ago, that once you go, and we did a hypnotic process around it as well, you get anxious because you have everything in front of you. But if you go in your mind beyond and to the success of your day, you do not feel anxiety unconsciously. And there's a small disclaimer to that, but I'll get to that in a second, because it's important for everyone. But by doing so, you're telling your unconscious mind, the biology of you, that part of you, the reptilian brain of us, which is in that fight and flight, going, look, we got this covered. This is exactly how we're going to act. And then your unconscious mind gets a sense of peace. Now, of course, another thing is to make sure you either do, and I like the Wim Hof method, the breathing. That's always good because it's regulating our system. And also things like working out. You do it in the morning, it will put you in alignment. Now, I don't focus on things like food or anything like that, because I don't eat in the morning or the afternoon, just like I eat in the evening. For me personally, it just fits my lifestyle and my belly. So that's what I do. But I did say there was a disclaimer to this beyond asking that question. Look, what can I learn from my day will allow me to be safer, more resourceful, more powerful tomorrow? And that means I'm sending that question to my unconscious mind while I go to sleep. And that means it's resolving and dissolving things which no longer serve us. So that means we don't bring in the old day into our new day. And then I said, do not engage in social media before bed, and also when upon waking up or doing anything else. Don't engage in the merry-go-round of 100 mile an hour spinning around before you get your mind right. When your mindset's right, the facts don't count. I really believe that. You can overcome so many things. So spend the adequate time to be able to create it in the mind, successful completion. And also, like I said, this is important. The disclaimer part is, if there's a deeper rooted problem, put all your money, all your time, whatever you can throw at it, to that root cause. Because that root cause is creating this damage emotionally and physically and ruining our day. So to make it your priority to solve the thing which is creating it. So if you have identity conflicts of I'm not good enough, worthy or deserving, that has to disappear to be free of the anxiety, because the anxiety is a consequence of that big, deep identity conflict. That's how I solve all my clients' issues. We don't focus on the symptom. We focus on the root cause. We let it go within 8 weeks. And therefore, for the rest of your life, you can be abundant, whether it be financially because you're more successful at work or in business. You can have that wonderful quality time with your friends, your family, your children. You can just feel physically amazing because you've lifted the weight off your shoulders, which you may have had for decades, ever since you're a little child. So do the work, find the solution that will fit you, and go all in on it. So that's the disclaimer. I don't want to paper over things and just make you go, well, just do that and you'll be fine, because there'll be people listening to this who do need to do the deep work, which will then solve everything. Where to the point, you don't have to go through that ritual as much. I like it, but you don't have to be dependent on it, because you are clean and clear in your self-certainty. So that's a really, really good question, and I appreciate that. And we'll kind of go straight into another question around that. Do you use the law of attraction in your daily life? Now, I don't really call what I do the law of attraction, because I think there's too much fluffiness around it in the media or the feel of it. But like, I see it sometimes, people just see it as wishful thinking. Just go there in the mind, dream these big realities and expect it to just become a miracle and happen. I don't believe in that. I think the universe works when you work. I really believe in that. Whatever you want, wants you, but you've got to take that action upon it. So even if we relay it back to the previous question of creating your day, you are getting your unconscious mind to look for that answer. And that means you do become an energetic match. I always imagine it in a couple of ways of being that vibrational frequency to a radio station. Are you tuning into like the craziest music, which really irritates you? Or are you tuning into the most beautiful harmony music that supports you? So if we're focusing on what we don't want, which is the anxiety brain, the reptilian part of us, that biological fast brain, then we're going to be focusing on the negative frequency of thoughts, feelings, and actions. So yes, focus on what you want, but then take action upon it. I always say, have your thoughts, your feelings deeply, and your actions deeply aligned to your desire. Most people just forget about the actions and just meditate on it. And in my opinion, and I may be wrong, you may disagree with me, but I'm huge in the belief of I take action. If I have a goal and dream, it's all on me to achieve. I cannot and I will not rely on anyone. Now, other people can support my dream. They can support my desire, and that's always good. But I cannot push it outside to them. Because if I allow it just to be dependent on something, the economy changing, society changing, expectations changing of others, family changing, people changing, partner changing, children changing, is out of my control. And therefore, I pushed it outside of myself. So I want to be 100% responsible for that goal by going there in the mind, because you're telling your unconscious mind, this is what I want, this is why it's important, and then I'm going to be in alignment by taking an action. We actually said this a bit on the, like I said, an episode before last. If you can imagine on the one axis, 0 to 10, on the other, 0 to 10, well, one's going to be thoughts and feelings going all the way up, right? Your thoughts, what you do in your mind, and all those wonderful practices. But then on the other axis, or axi, or whatever it may be called, you have your actions, the things that you do, right? Because you need to get a 10 out of 10, ideally. And it's hard, we're human, so sometimes your mindset might be 5 and you're out of 10, and your behavior, your application, your decision making, your dedication and action will be maybe a 9. And then you want to check in your mindset, and you got to keep on trying to bring up those ideally 10 out of 10s. But if you just go on the one axis and just have emotional law of attraction thinking, I don't believe that works. And that's where people get, it has like a bad name, because it's just wishful thinking. Like, yeah, you can manifest anything you want within one day if you just go there in the mind. And then people feel disappointed and defeated, and then it just reinforces their limiting beliefs about themselves and what they can do, and that's not helpful. I want to have equal measurement of thoughts, thinking, feeling, and behavior. So going back to the question, do I use the law of attraction? I could say in a way, but I'm very much on the biological side as well, which is the part of the brain which they call the reticular activating system. If you focus on anything in particular for long enough, or it's important to you, your brain is hardwired to seek it out. You learn a new word, you see it everywhere. Decide on the new car you want, you see it everywhere. It's what the brain is designed to do. Think about something you're anxious about, it will see anxiety everywhere. It's linked up that way. So I want to make sure I'm having that positive thinking on the biology, but also the action. What can I do to make this a reality? So it's a bit of a hybrid, or maybe you could say, well, that's true law of attraction, and I get that. I just think in the media, or the pushing of law of attraction, is not the best thing in that case. And another question connected to that, are you manifesting anything specific right now? Right now, yes. And it's all about business. I am so conscious of wanting to help the world that I believe, that's just, I'll go personal, I believe that's my purpose. I want to help people. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to invest in myself to get there. I'm willing to invest in things, systems. Like, we're investing into the app right now to fix things and make it even better. which is one of my focuses, to make the app amazing. And so that's one level, but also attracting the right people into my life who I want to be able to serve best. Because I never work with clients I don't want to work with. I refuse to. They don't get to choose me, I get to choose them. And that sounds a little bit strange, but I think we should work with people we like and love. So I would say attracting the right clients into my life who value their goals and dreams and their ability to do so, that's what I'm going for. Yeah, that's what I'm really putting my attention on, helping the free work that I do, doing as much as possible, but also serving my clients who are investing in themselves. And that drives me forward. That's like energy, free energy for me. Like, because I'm excited about helping and supporting people. So that's my specific thing. And it's been that way for a long time. Because if I don't know how to help people, I can be the best hypnotherapist. And I'm sure that there are far better hypnotherapists than me, far better coach than me, but maybe don't have the skill set to be able to get out there. And I want to really focus on getting my work out there. We're doing well, 140,000 free downloads every single month, well over 12 million downloads in total. So I feel very satisfied in many ways, or grateful, we could say, but I'm also grateful for working more. And someone actually commented, yes, and attracting clients that pay their bills too. Yes, that is always a good one as well, because you have to know your worth, and therefore you get to be abundant while serving clients. And that's choosing the right kind of client who's energetically matched to you. So a bit of a side question right there. Now, another question we have. Why do friends and family go quiet when you're finally going for your dreams? So, a couple of things there. Doesn't always have to be the case. Because sometimes some friends, some family will be very supportive of your dreams. But let's just say, if in this case, why do some, or all, if that's the thing, is, I would say, as simply as, because it's not their dream. It's not their dream. And the reason why I say that, if it's not their dream, they may not understand it. Or even if it was their dream, they may not believe that it's possible. And therefore, if they were verbal about it, they might have cut you down. Say, look, who are you to go for that dream? Do you really think it's possible? Do you really think what it's got? You've got what it takes? They could project that onto you, which I know is very, very common. And I say other people's opinions of you, and in this case, other people's opinions of your dream, is none of your business. You, if your dream, hold it. Do whatever it takes. But also be at peace, for not everyone has to support it. Not everyone's going to understand it. They may doubt it because it's their stuff. Maybe they were told, look, who are you to go for that dream? And therefore they didn't go for their dream, and they're just repeating the same cycle by either projecting on you or just being quiet. They're staying in their comfort zone. So I would say that's why. It's not their dream. They do not understand it. They may doubt it. And even if that is the case, doesn't matter, because it's your dream anyway. We're not handing it over to other people. Now, one thing I find an issue with is, say, for example, when I work with my clients, because there is obviously an investment there, they feel like they got to speak to their partner and things like that. And I agree and disagree at times, because I think it's their dream, they've got to go for it. I understand there's a bit of a teamwork there as well. But it is important that your partner is on your side, if it is a relationship, or even a family to a degree, but mainly a partnership, as in a relationship. Because you going for your dream and having that negative state can get big issues. So they don't have to understand it, but they've got to lift you up. They've got to support you. I think relationships really fail when they stop lifting you up and you stop lifting them up if they have a goal and dream. Every relationship I've been in, I promise you, ever since I've been doing what I'm doing, I'm not saying when I was like 12 years old, 15 years old, but ever since 18 years old, I've been intentionally my best, where I actually do it or not, like to the completion, because look, we're all human. My biggest goal in a relationship is to lift them up into their dream. Like, how can I support them? And it could be in many different ways, time, energy, financial. I don't care. I'll do whatever it takes or just hold the space. So the reason why I say that, because it's different from family and friends who don't have to hold that space. It's important to get your family, sorry, your relationship on your side. Don't have to understand it, but they got to support and lift you up even in the lack of understanding. How can you actually change that? Well, get them to realize how important it is. Like, let's say, for example, I'm speaking to a client and they have a dream to set up their own business, but they have this debilitating fear each and every day that they feel like an imposter, they're anxious, they're fearful, and it's not allowed to get. And I go, look, I can solve it easy. I'll let it go in 8 weeks. Easy peasy, no problems. How would you like to pay? Right? Let's make it that simple. If they go to their partner and then they go like, look, we can't afford it, or I don't understand it, that can create some conflict. So you've got to really leverage why it's important to you, your emotional health and well-being, your desire and your dream that you've always wanted if it's in a different context. It's not their job to understand, right? Because they don't understand. You may not understand why they do what they do or why your friend wants to go and do X, Y, Z, because it's not your dream. But if you can express the value behind the dream of what it will do for you, it may bring that team together to go, yep, I don't get it. I understand why you want it though, and I'm gonna support you with that. So that's just a bit of a sidestep when it comes to relationships, when it comes to this. Okay, so let's just see. Question, the world is crazy, political, socio-economic threat of war. How do you block that out, block these things out and not become infatuated with them and allow them to affect your own mental health and progress toward your own goal? Interesting, because my personal trainer had the exact same question for me, so I'll read out his one. What negative emotional mindset issue do you see happening with the talk of, say, nuclear war threats? So let's talk about that. It's a tricky situation. We're going through life and there's so many things happening in the world. One of the things, like if we go down the nuclear threat, and I was thinking this because I got asked a question an hour before I went live, and I don't know if it's just me. I live in America and I see there's a lot of fear. In England, I had less fear, or like I experiencing others have less fear. So we've got to also kind of go like, well, if there's a threat of war and things like that, how often has that happened? How much more dangerous or possibilities of having it, because I was in my car at the time, of me having a crash. I think the chances of something happening to me in the car is more likely statistically, and I'm not a statistician, compared to going through experiences like that. So I try to reframe myself. I try to kind of put it into a specific alternative to compare probability, potentiality, and consequence. That's what I try to do. And it just reframes me. It makes me more stoic in my thinking and my feelings. Because even we go like the this being broadcast live once again, and I make mistakes for those listening onto the podcast episodes, the social economic side of things. The one sentence I try to stick my mind on that one is this. Once again, it's none of my business. I refuse to listen. I'm going to focus on myself and do whatever it takes to make an impact. There's, in times of peace, there's less innovation compared to times of stress or conflict. Innovation happens because there's problems to be solved. So how can I be more innovative in like other people in the world to be able to do that? So that's one level. I really refuse to buy into things. Even if they happen to me, I'm going to focus on on being responsible for what I can do and what I cannot do. Because some things are so beyond our control, it's not worth being fearful of. Like, it's just not. Probability, possibility, and consequentially, and even if it were to happen, what can I do about it? Not always so much. So I've got to put myself out the equation. And that might sound soft, or like, not soft, but disinterested. And I wouldn't want you to think that I don't care, because I do care. I work with people all the time with issues. I feel things. I have empathy, like a lot of empathy. It's why I do what I do. But on the same hand, I've had to manage that. I cannot help people when I'm in a low energetic state of meeting them where they live in that pain. So I try to be the best example I can do. I try to see the best in that person. I think, well, how can I show up for my clients in a way that will give them an example of how they can change? That's how I try to operate with my clients. I want to understand their model of world, but not live in it. Because if I'm living it, I can't get them out of it. I want to understand it to pull them out of it and be the best example and have the most amazing conviction in their beauty and their potentiality to help them. So how that relies to it is I'm focusing on what I can do. Now, if you're also talking about, say, experiencing and witnessing things in the world and that troubles you, like the idea, the anxiety and being occupied, simple in a way, but we go back to Mr. Rogers, who I never experienced growing up. It just wasn't on TV in England for me. But having watched the documentaries and things like that, it is one of the things when the threat of war was happening, and that was one of the questions, and he just said, look for the helpers. You see, usually we see the pain, we see the possibility, but we don't always look at the helpers. The helpers are the people who are making a difference. That should give us a sense of comfort. There's people out there trying to do good. And that means we can be inspired. And then we can ask, well, what, if anything, can I do? Right? That's what I want to do. And then on top of that, you going back to the first question of engaging in the morning. Well, I don't even have, I deleted my news app from my phone because I'd look at it in the morning and I'm not in the right place to look at the news. I don't want to be inundated to the level that I'm debilitated. I don't want to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Like knowing nothing. I want to know enough. But I'm going to look at it at times when I want to look at it. Right? I'm not going to be inundated and debilitated. I'm going to be able to have special times, check in once a week, check in a certain time of day when you're feeling pumped from the gym, whatever it is for you. You want to be in a resourceful state. So there is a form of regulation as to how you do this. Because what the question was like, well, with regards to your own mental health, well, engaging in all those things continuously is detrimental to your health. So you need to focus on what you want, what's important to you, what you can do if need be. How can you be an example? How can you look for the helpers? How can I limit things and do things more than I like? Noticing what being more stoic in nature of the possibilities, being at peace with the worst case scenarios, because sometimes the worst case scenario will never happen. Like I was saying, like how long has the threat of nuclear war been around? A long time, right? But the reality is most of us have not actually experienced it. How many threats have there been around war? A lot of it, but how much have we personally? And I'm not talking like, say, veterans or people in the services right now. Obviously, that's a different story. But like personally, how has it really happened? And it's not to say it couldn't happen, but I want to get into realistic ideas and perceptions. And I might be totally wrong here, right? I'm not trying to say I'm right, but I do think it's a healthier way of being, of not watching certain things, looking for the helpers, looking after your mind, focusing on what you can do, being stoic and being conscious of when you look at certain things or read things. Like, for example, when I stopped watching the news on the TV because it wasn't important or value to me. So I downloaded the app and I could then choose to look at certain things. You watch TV, it's just, they run the schedule. On the app, I can choose to look, but even then it wasn't good because my eyes were still looking at the things which didn't support me in every single way. I had this thought actually when I was running this week. And I go about it like way back in time, we just had no idea what was happening in the world. And then it made me think, well, if I was on an island and I had no access to anything, what would be my emotional happiness? Like just not knowing. I know I'm not trying to say like have to be oblivious to things because I don't think that's right either. But just think of that scenario of just being on an island, no communication, have your loved ones or things like that, doing what you love. But you were just oblivious. I'm not saying that's right, but where would your mental health be? Well, it'd be good and great because you wouldn't be aware of anything else happening in the world. But today, we are so connected to everything. We're aware of things which aren't necessarily important to us to be aware of. But we just have all that stream of information. And it's not to say we should be like the islands, but we should be able to regulate maybe toward what it would be like being on an island. Like I said, not to just forget about everything, because if I forgot about all people's issues, I wouldn't be doing what I do. I am thriving and driving forward because I know people are in pain. But it drives me forward. Talking about lift up and lift down in relationships, well, this lifts me up to be able to hopefully support people. And that's my intention anyway. So hopefully that helps with that question. What's the best hypnosis for deeper love? Okay, so it depends what you mean by this. For self, which is always should be a priority, I'd be looking at like maybe the self-worth and good enough hypnosis session on the app. I would also, if we're talking about relationships, way back I did manifesting relationships. We're talking about that word manifesting again there, like law of attraction, but it was practical and specific. There was two versions of it. So just put in relationships on the app in the free section and you'll see a part one and part two. So if you're attracting a deeper love in a relationship form, it gets you clear in what you want and not what you don't want. We're getting the unconscious conscious of your desires. Usually it's programmed to get relationships like you've already had or what you've modeled and experienced from other people in the world. In other words, your family, your observations. And we've got to be able to like undo a lot of that stuff because once again, like other people's dreams or your dreams are not other people's dreams to be had. Well, sometimes your stories or your expectations and perceptions of what relationships are not even yours. They've just been things that you've observed and learned and thought were true. So I'll be looking on that free section if it's more about relationships. And I can't think of another one, but if you type in just love, I'm sure another title will come up. And if not, maybe we'll do a free hypnosis session on that as well. Okay, let's see. Another question is coming from the live. Is the unconscious mind actually stronger than the conscious mind? I've always assumed the conscious mind is more in control. Having both in alignment is a new concept. So having both in alignment is a new concept to me. I would say we are just merely almost a passenger. Our unconscious mind does so many things. And I'll give you a rundown of what it does continuously. It observes everything around you that you're not consciously aware of. Around 2 billion plus bits of information every second. And then it has to kind of put it in certain categories of how you understand the world around you. But then it runs a fight and flight response. It runs a healing of your body. Get hurt, yeah, you want to look after it, but your unconscious mind, the biology of you, heals you. It runs and maintains habits. And that is why people struggle to consciously change, because the unconscious mind is running it, right? It's doing it. And that's why we feel like, oh my goodness, I can't change my life, because the unconscious mind is running the situation. Even things like driving. The beliefs that we have about ourselves are unconscious. The values that we hold about life, like what's important around money, health, relationships, career, finances, is unconscious. All change is unconscious. All learning is unconscious. All everything, in many ways, in my opinion, is unconscious. I would like almost see it as like the tip of the iceberg is the conscious mind, but then beneath the water is all the other things. And that is why we need to be able to get it on our side. And it does many other things as well. It does our experience of our memories. So how you remember things is going to be something that it will always kind of have control over. And it will also do things like our, let's just see what else it does, our attitudes, our characteristics, in other words. I'm trying to think, there's going to be plenty of other things, but that's what it kind of really gets into. So I would say the unconscious mind is very much bigger, but obviously you need the conscious mind as well. But if you make the unconscious conscious of your desires, and then you're a powerhouse, because you let go of those beliefs, you let go of those habits, you let go of those personality types which don't serve you, you let go of those memories which are holding you back, or at least contaminated with fear, anger, sadness, guilt, hurt. It will want you to heal quicker than ever before, because we don't have that guilt or shame, all those things. So getting the conscious mind in alignment, and we need those conscious upgrades as well. But if you're consciously just knowing something, your unconscious mind will pull you back like you've never felt before. But if you resolve the unconscious mind, it's going to take you further than you could ever imagine, because you're deeply aligned. So that is what I'd say to that question. Okay, let's just see. Just an observation here. So great to have you on the live stream. JW saying hello. Always good to tune in your channel. Every time it's always a change of the mood I'm into. Be wise in my decisions. I love that. That is so, so awesome. Someone also said that they unfollow pages or unfriend people, post things I don't want to see. Yeah. I hate to break it to most people on my Facebook page, but I have still friends, but I don't want to see everything in the newsfeed. Because if for many people in real life, I wouldn't have been checking them on the phone. I wouldn't give them the phone call. Someone who I used to know years and years ago and have never seen for years and years and years ago, right? Maybe once in a while I would, so I could check on their profile, like giving them a phone call. Oh, I haven't spoken to you for 5 years. But to see it inundated once again, and that's where social media kind of can be not good, is very, very important to regulate. If you could give one piece of advice, what would it be? One piece? I can't give you one piece. I'm going to give you one long answer. One long answer. You are in charge of your mind ultimately. And I was a bit contradicting when I just said about the unconscious, but ultimately you are responsible for making the changes that you desire. You are responsible. If not, you're irresponsible by having reasons for staying the same. Sometimes they can be excuses. That's not how I live. I think of cause and effect. I'm either the effect of my life or I'm the cause of my life. So I promise you, I try to, and I'm human once again. I say that all the time. I don't want to say like I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm trying to learn and grow as an individual. But having been in this self-development journey, invested tons of money and time over the last 2 decades, taking responsibility for my life has been the biggest game changer. Once again, don't allow other people to run it. It's not up to other people to change you. It is your responsibility. So I would say that is the main thing. But the other thing, which I have to include, is don't focus on symptoms. Focus on the cause of the symptoms. I always say the analogy, go to a doctor. They ask you, what are you experiencing? What are your symptoms? I got a pain in the neck, headache, sore throat, stomach ache, aches, pain, fever, shiver. Okay, doctor says this to you. I'm going to give you one for the headache, one for the sore throat, one for the stomach, one for the aches, one for the pains, one for the fever, one for the congestion. Just take these 10 pills for the rest of your life once a day. I actually will do it twice a day, because you need them twice per day. So I've got 10 pills twice a day. I'm going to take 20 pills a day for the rest of my life just to manage my symptoms? You'd go to a different doctor. You'd say that doctor's rubbish. You'd see someone who you resonate with, you have a rapport with, they've been recommended to you. You see the good reviews online. You go to that doctor. Doctor says the exact same question. Oh my goodness. What are you experiencing? What symptoms do you experience? And you say, I've got a headache, sore throat, stomachache, aches, pain, fever, shiver, congestion. Every time I eat, it feels bad. And the doctor goes, aha, I know what's happening here. Those symptoms, I'm making this up because I'm definitely not a doctor either. But if I were to imagine, I would look up on a computer based on their experience as well. Ah, you got a bacterial infection. Just take this one pill, antibiotics, twice per day, but just for 5 days. And that's it. One pill twice a day for 5 days. And they let go of everything. Yeah, that's the cause of all the pain. That's what you do. And you go, wow, that's super awesome, doctor. I went to another doctor, just said, work on the symptoms. No, you don't do that. That's a silly doctor. Horrible doctor. They should get struck off for doing that. Let me know their name. I'm going to report them to the medical board. Take this one pill twice a day, 5 days, and you'll let go of the bacterial infection because that's what antibiotics do. And therefore, your body doesn't have to send you the symptoms, or I would say signals, any longer. All symptoms are signals pointing to a direction that needs to be solved. I see countless, and I hear so many therapists just working on symptoms, and it drives me mad. I don't know if they're doing it for money, that we see clients over and over and over again, like once a week for the next 5-10 years, or maybe they just don't know. Like, I don't know what the reason is, but I promise you, I focus just on the root cause. I find it, I've learned to be very good at kind of, once again, I'm not medically diagnosing, but diagnosing the core issue unconsciously, and then I come up with a plan to let it go. Just like the antibiotic in that analogy. So that is the two things. Take responsibility, get to the root cause, and I'm going to add a third one. Find someone who you like, who you'd love to work with, and be ready to invest. Like, you can't expect... I try to give everything a lot for free, but I can't do everything for free. Otherwise, this freeness will just break down because I cannot fund it any longer. Okay, let's just see. I think that's all the questions on the back end. Let's just see. People saying, I love this. Yes, the core issue. Just see if I've got any more questions. Yeah, and someone said a cured patient. I can't see who it is. A cured patient is a lost client. It's a business. And I don't like that attitude, because here's the thing. Here's how I see it, right? You make a change working with me, you're more likely to tell people. If you stay the same with pain, and that client goes, I'm working with this person, it's been 5 years. And 5 years? That's a long time. Oh, is it a bad person? And then we know people are more likely to report negative reviews than positive reviews. It's just the way it is. Good service rarely gets good reviews. Bad service gets a lot of bad reviews. So what I like to see is, if I can make people in the world make that change, there'll be a beacon of light for other people. Where it be that they follow or give people toward me or point them my way, or I'm just at peace that they'll be an example to their family, their children. I've seen that time and time and again, that people with issues unfortunately set these big unconscious problems to their children. They model the parents. Maybe we modeled our own issues based on our parents or who we grew up. Once you make that change, if you've got a child for that, in this scenario, you will be the best example of what can be done and inspire them to do more than ever before. So I want the ripple effects and not the one client that I always see. And plus, I am, no offense, as much as I love my clients, it would bore me seeing them for years and years and years and years and years. I just could not do that. I like to get quick, powerful results, set them on their way, and therefore, if they want, they can share people. And I get recommended. I'm curious for you as well. And you might say, absolutely not, but I'll ask a question first. How did you find my app or my podcast? So maybe you were told about it. Maybe you've told people about my app. I get that a lot. I have lots of doctors referring and psychotherapists referring to the hypnosis session. So I know that is a powerful vehicle of change. That's how I personally see it. But yeah, work on the root cause, make the change in your world. And even if it, like, even if it were the case, like a cured patient is a lost, a cured patient is a lost client, it's a business, then you can always know that you can carry on supporting them in different ways. They'll have different problems which may come up in the future, well, unrelated to the root cause. And also, if you're really, really good at what you do, you increase the value of what you give and the value that they invest. I'm a big believer in that. If they don't have skin in the game, people, clients don't show up. They don't take it seriously. I value my work incredibly so that, yeah, it is an investment to work with me. But I'm going to get the results for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to do whatever it takes. So in business, just like this, I'm going to go on a side tangent. There's a guy called Jay Abraham, and he wrote a book, which I cannot remember the name, but he said there's three ways, and it's known across business, three ways to increase business: increase the number of clients, increase the amount that they keep on coming back, and increase the amount that they pay. That's, if you've got a business, they're the only three ways you can scale a business to growth. How many people you see, so you see more people, you're going to make more money. Increase the repeated amount of times they come back. Yeah, we know about that one. We've said, like, if you see a client over and over again for the next 10 years, you're making money. But then the third one is increasing the size that they buy. And that means you don't have to do the second one if need be. Okay, so that's just my reframe around business. And I've been doing business and invested a ton in business to learn these things. Joe, welcome to the live stream, my friend. Great to see you. Say hi, Joe. You're a fantastic man. You're so helpful. I'm already feeling much better about myself and I have more confidence. Awesome. I actually thought that was going to be a question there, but I'm so happy I read it out as well on the live stream. Thank you, my friend. It's always a pleasure to have you on these live streams. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Makes my day. It really, really does. Leah said, my best friend told me about you in 2014. There we go. And Leah's been on the live streams for a long time consistently. I have three times per week. So that is awesome. And also a moderator on the channel, which is even better. America says, I can't live comfortably without this. So it will always be my business. Yep, your business is, you're moving in the right direction. Okay, I've been streaming live longer than usual. For an hour and 10 minutes. It won't feel like that on the edit because we have the pre-show of about 15, 20 minutes of getting to know you and asking questions, seeing how we're doing. But I've been going live for almost an hour and 10 minutes in general. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for joining me on the live stream and listening to this. And thank you ever so much for your kind words. That is so, so awesome. And thank you once again, Joe, for that extra comment right there as well. Thank you, my friend. So with that, of course, if you ever need my help, like I said, if you want to invest in yourself, but you experience specifically not feeling good enough, worthy, the imposter syndrome, you can go to josephclough.info/talk, where you'll get to book a time, a one-to-one call with us, a one-to-one with the team, and therefore you'd fill out a mini application, and then you'd attend that Zoom call, and that means we'll get clear on exactly what you want to let go of, exactly what you want to achieve, what's getting in the way, and then we'll come up with a plan of action to make it a reality. And if you're a good fit, we may kind of invite you into a program. There is an investment, but you got to be just invested. I believe in it. I'm invested in myself, and that is josephclough.info/talk. And of course, if that's not appropriate to you, always feel free to download the free hypnosis app at freehypnosis.app. It has all these episodes, 748 of them, at the time of this being broadcasted live, all for free. And I just hope that you get value from it. You can go to the hypnosis section where you can go ahead and listen in the day on the sun little symbol, turn it over to the moon, it'll change it into a nighttime version, extended, and it'll just guide you into a sleep, no wake up. And also you create custom tracks. And of course, once again, if you do get value from my work, I'll greatly appreciate you review. Go to the app store, just type in my name, Joseph Clough, C-L-O-U-G-H. He'll bring up the app, you go to the details, and it'll be like a little write a review section. And that just means we get to help more people. Only though, only if you've got any value from this or any of my other ones. Obviously, I don't want fake reviews. Just do it if that is on your heart to hopefully help other people. So with that, I look forward to speaking to everyone on the live stream in a few moments. And for everyone on the podcast, I look forward to speaking to you on a future episode. Many thanks and goodbye.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.